Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Welcome back to the Numerologist Podcast. I'm Rose, your host. I hope you are all safe and well from wherever you are in the world, wherever you're listening from. If you're loving the podcast, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you've not already, you can head over to our Instagram and our Facebook pages to connect with us over there. Every Friday on Instagram, you can submit your questions for the next podcast guest. So if you want the chance to ask your question to one of the experts coming up, make sure you connect with us on Insta. Now, today's guest is Teresa Reed, aka the Tarot Lady. Don't be mistaken by her name, though. Teresa is anything but a one-trick pony. In fact, she has her fingers in a multitude of divine pies. Tarot, astrology, and other intuitive pursuits have been Teresa's life's work, and she's explored them in a great deal of ways over the years. Teresa isn't a newbie when it comes to podcasts either. As well as being a guest on a number of spiritual podcasts, she runs four herself too. When it comes to her clients, her mission is to provide guidance for courageous self-awareness with a bolt of cosmic clarity. She believes that nothing is fated, and in fact, her motto is that the cards tell a story, but you write the ending. I'm really excited to have Teresa on the show today, as her no BS, practical approach is something many of us need right now. Here we go. Hi, Teresa. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries at all. Now, you are a very busy person. I have looked across your website and your social media and listened to your podcast. So you've got four podcasts, you've got books out, you've got, you do readings, you do your 6-second tarot readings every day on Instagram. And you've even got a side gig that you do. You do yoga. You're a yoga instructor. So can you tell me a bit about who you are? What makes you the Tarot Lady?
Well, first of all, I have a lot going on because I like to say I'm a typical Gemini. I always like to have more than one iron in the fire. I have many, many different interests. But what makes me the Tarot Lady? Well, it's I've had a tarot deck in my hand since I've been 15 years old. That's been a long, long time. And tarot has just been, out of all the passions I have, my main passion. I always have to say I never get sick of tarot. I'm looking at it every day. I look at it different ways. I've met so many interesting people through the work that I do. And I just think tarot is the most fascinating thing. So that's probably why I'm known as the Tarot Lady. And you know, it's really funny. When I chose the name for my business, I didn't really choose that name. I would have people that would come to me and they would say, oh my gosh, I have to get a reading with my tarot lady. And so that's the only reason why I chose that particular business name.
If it fits right.
It works. It's simple.
Yeah, that's it. Now, I'm really interested to hear about your journey to becoming, and you know, starting your business and all that kind of thing. Because like you said, you have had a tarot deck in your hand since you were 15. So can you tell me a bit about the steps you took to get where you are now?
Sure. Well, Rose, I think for me, a lot of things, I like to say happened by accident, but you know, there's never really any accidents. Sometimes we just get led down a certain path. We don't know how we got there. And then one day here we are. And my journey with tarot began when I was a teenager. My girlfriend, who's still my best friend to this day, her mother read my astrology chart. And I got so fascinated with astrology that I started studying it. It made so much sense to me. And one day we were at the mall. It was, my parents would rarely go to the mall. We lived in a very rural area, so it was always a headache to get out there. But we went to the mall and I went right to the bookstore. I wasn't a typical teenage girl. I wasn't looking for clothes or any of that stuff. I never cared about that. It was always the bookstore. Either I'm going to the bookstore or to buy record albums, which really dates myself. So I went to the bookstore and they had a very tiny metaphysical section. And so I went in there, thought, okay, I'm going to find me an astrology book. And I saw a tarot deck. And I had seen them in the movies like most people. And on a whim, I just picked that deck up and took it home and started working with it and really getting insights right from the jump. So I still studied astrology, and you know, you never stop studying any of this stuff, but tarot became like an obsession. I just had to know those cards. I wanted to know everything about them. I wanted to read for anybody who would allow me to read. So it was just, you know, again, the beginning of a lifelong obsession. And I had read tarot for many, many years before I went pro. Again, basically, I'd read for anybody who would allow me to look at their cards. And many years ago, I was working as a bartender. I had returned home, and I had lived in New York for a little while. And I thought, I've got to find myself. Who am I now? And when I lived in New York, I worked on a newspaper. So now I needed to figure out who I am. And so I got a job as a bartender. And by the way, I was a lousy bartender. And they put me on a shift that was so quiet and dead. So I thought, I'll bring my tarot cards in there to have something to do. And what ended up happening is the days that I was working suddenly became very popular. I would have a full bar and people lined up waiting to get readings.
Wow.
And they loved it. And I had people all the time saying, oh my God, you know, I would love to pay you for a more full reading, a private reading. I don't want to be in this setting. And so that's what made me started thinking about doing this for a business. And the way it all started though as a business, I told my boss, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about starting a tarot business. And he said, oh yeah, yeah. And then he went behind my back and told people that I would fail because nobody would pay for that. And I'm a believer in signs, and I also don't like it when a man tells me what that I can't do something. So I grew up with brothers. So yes, when you have brothers, you know, you always, if it's a dare coming from your brother, you know exactly what I mean. So
absolutely.
I'm like, And so I quit my job immediately, and then everything just fell into place. And I've been reading professionally full time for 30 years now.
Wow. You know, it's funny things like that. You know, people who put that energy out there into the world that you're going to fail, it's almost a blessing because it makes you want to prove that person wrong. And it's almost like you say, a sign that, you know what? No, I can do this.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when people tell you you're going to fail, you have two options. You either believe it and don't do anything, or you're like, no, I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to show you. And like I said, when you grow up with brothers, well, of course you always want to beat your brother. So that was very natural for me to lean into that energy. And I'm like, nope. And the funniest thing about this guy, he was such a jerk too. His business ended up folding 2 years later. He had called me all the time trying to ask me to come back into the bar. And I'm like, nope. Mm-hmm. You know, and even in the early years where it was lean, I'm like, nope, not going back, buddy. Not after you did that. So it kind of worked out in its own weird karmic way. Life is funny.
Absolutely. Now, I really like your sort of approach to tarot and astrology and those kinds of things. It's almost more a practical approach. You know, your books, you've got tarot for troubled times and astrology for real life. And it kind of seems like a bit of a different angle to what, you know, a lot of tarot readers do. Was there something specific that made you choose that direction?
I have always had an uncommonly good amount of common sense. Mm-hmm. Right from when I was a child. I mean, in our household, my parents, rest in peace, did not have a good common sense. So at a very young age, I was like the problem solver in the household. And I love solving problems. I've got 3 planets in Gemini, 3 planets in Virgo. I love, love, love solving things. And I always like looking for the common sense angle to things. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of things, even intuition, they're very common sense. And so that's just always been my style. It is who I am. Everything is very practical and pragmatic. Even the things I'm interested in, there's always a practical and pragmatic thing behind it. So it's really pretty much just my personality, I think. And I also am one of those people that I tend to look at tarot as, okay, this is a tool. This is showing me where I'm going, what's ahead, what the possibilities are. The planets show me what the energy is, what's operating. Now let me work with this to my advantage. Mm-hmm. So I always think from that perspective, what is the advantage here? What is the workaround? How can we find the best way forward? So I would probably say it's not just common sense. I also am very strategic in my thinking. which is probably why also my business has endured as long as it has. It's that strategy and common sense. So I guess that's how I would describe my approach.
So in terms of your reading then, how does that approach affect if you're having a reading with a certain person?
Yeah. Well, what we do is when we sit down and do a reading, we are again looking at all the angles. We are trying to find the best way forward. It's never something like we do a reading that's like, okay, here's a guarantee your life is going to be great or it's going to be awful. Mm-hmm. It's always like, here's the information, here's the energy, this is what I'm sensing, and let's find the best path possible. And if everything is good, let's make sure we stay on track. So I tend to approach all of it that way. It's always about guidance and helping people and keeping them on track so that they don't fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. And that actually brings me to something that I saw. It's a bit of a tagline for you. On your website, it says, the cards tell a story, but you write the ending. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was quite powerful. Can you explain a bit about what you mean by that?
Sure. Well, you know, tarot or astrology or anything, and I'll use myself as the example too. I think a lot of people have this misconception that, you know, things are fated, and you know, maybe some things are fated to some degree, but I'm a really big believer in free will and awareness and being conscious. And I think when you approach everything with a conscious mind and an awareness of what might be up ahead, you can make brave, excellent decisions. And you can turn your life around any way that you want. There's not this doom and gloom thing that some people assume that our lives are. And also, there's no guarantee your life is going to be perfect if you have all the stars in your favor either. Everything comes down to your awareness. Everything comes down to being conscious. And everything comes down to you really paying attention to the choices that you're making. And sometimes the choices might be asking for help. You know, because sometimes people say, well, I'm really stuck. There's no way. Well, sometimes there is a choice. You have to ask for help. So for myself, I have a so-called bad astrology chart. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see the sarcastic look on my face. Anytime astrologers look at my chart, they're always like, oh, they wince, they groan. They're like, oh my God, this is awful. And my life turned out fine. It's because I'm aware of where my strengths are. I'm aware of where I need to do my work. And I just do the work. And it's the same thing with anything in life. You know, a couple of years ago, I had somebody looked at my astrology chart and they looked at my transits and they said, oh my God, you've got Saturn going through that second house, the house of money. It's making all these terrible angles in your terrible chart. It looks like you're going to be really broke. And I said, that's not how this works. Mm-mm. Saturn loves discipline and structure. So what did I do? I sat down and I set some goals for myself. And my goal was, I'm going to pay off my mortgage early. And so what I did is I created a budget, a really strict budget. Saturn loves strictness. And I started really knuckling down. And what ended up happening, when Saturn was all the way out of that house and Pluto left that house as well, I paid off my mortgage 14 years early. How did I do it? It was about moving and working with Saturn. So I wasn't broke. I was just living very lean because I had a specific goal. That's how I worked with Saturn. So
that's incredible.
You can write your story. You just have to know how to work with the energy. That's what mm-hmm. it's all about. It's same like compatibility. You know, sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't be with a certain sign or this is a better sign. Mm-mm. You can get along with anybody. The key is you got to figure out what their makeup is, what their angle is. And then you just have to respect them enough to show up in a way that's going to honor who they are. It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all about perspective, isn't it? And you know, mm-hmm. if you take what you've been given on face value, and you know, it's almost taking those stereotypes for those signs or you know, certain cards and those kinds of things, and thinking, oh no, it's doom and gloom. But it's all about pulling the goodness out of everything, because, like you say, there is goodness in yes. in everything.
And also, the other thing too is sometimes people. You know, everybody, people want a guarantee, and there are no guarantees in life. You can have all the best cards and the best planets, and you know what? You could still make terrible decisions. Sometimes people will get a good reading, like they want, especially around love, and they'll say, yes, 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 someone's coming. And what do? They do nothing. They sit back and they assume that Prince or Princess Charming is going to show up at the door with a glass slipper, and it doesn't work like that. The energy is there, but you still have to do your part. Tarot and astrology are not a passive act, and life isn't a passive act either. You've got to get up and you've got to every day make up your mind that, you know what, I'm going to make good choices here. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. And that actually brings me on to like talking more about tarot cards, because certain cards are positioned as more good than others, and some are bad or whatever. How do you see that? What happens when you bring out cards that are, you know, known or notorious for being the bad energy?
Well, you know, all cards have a good side and a bad side. Even the sun can be negative if you have too much of it, right? You have too much sun, you get burnt. So anything can have a positive and a negative. There's an exercise that I like to do with my students called good card, bad card, where every bad card, you got to look for the good thing in it. Every good card, find something about it that might be negative. And that way you can have an objective perspective, which always is what you need to have when you're looking at tarot. If you are attached to the negative connotations about a card or the good ones, even though I love the sun card, it's going to interfere with your ability to read objectively. So first of all, as a tarot reader, you have to be able to see all sides of the card. And then let's just say we have a reading that's filled with very challenging cards. Let's say you get the Tower, you get the Ten of Swords, you get the Devil. Well, a good tarot reader, what we're going to do is we're going to look at that energy and we're going to try to ascertain what is going on here and what is the best way to deal with this current difficult energy, and what is the takeaway? What is the growth that's going to come out of this? So I never look at it like, well, you're screwed. It's like, okay, let's take a look. Let's work with this. What do we need to change? And then oftentimes a dialogue can open up and you can work together with your client, or if you're reading for yourself, same thing. It's all about then asking the questions and being curious and not looking at it as like a negative tarot sentence. You want to look at it like, this is giving you a dialogue. It's showing you the energy. But again, we can still find ways to work with that. And sometimes one of the things you want to do if you get a so-called negative reading is you can pull additional cards always for insight and guidance, especially if you're feeling really negative about the particular reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what we did before our podcast, we actually put out to our audience to see if they had any questions for you. And we did actually get quite a few responses, which is awesome. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions that came directly from our audience. So yeah. The first one came from Spencer, and he says, says, what intrigued you about tarot?
Well, I'm a very visual person, partially because I'm hard of hearing. And hard of hearing people, I think we all tend to be very visually oriented. I love images. I love art. I loved cartoons when I was a kid. You know, all those things were really my jam. And the thing that intrigued me about tarot were the images. I'm like, what is behind this? Why? Who drew these? You know, as a kid, it was just like fascinating to me looking at those images. And today, to this day and age, it's always a thing that still draws me. I love looking at different decks, different artists' renditions of the decks. You know, it's the art. It's something about that. And also, I love all things mystical. Now, I grew up in a very superstitious household. I think a lot of farm folks are very superstitious. And I had a very Catholic upbringing, and Catholics tend to be also, at least my experience, very superstitious. So I grew up with a mother who had visions and a grandmother who prayed to all the saints. And I had another grandmother who loved to talk about banshees. So I grew up with all that stuff. And I remember also being super fascinated with things like Bewitched or I Dream a Genie or, you know, all that stuff. And so I was always kind of mystically inclined. And I don't think I was too surprised that I ended up ultimately on the path that I was, because all of those things were fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine when at 15 you brought a tarot deck home, there was no strange looks. You were it was accepted.
My parents didn't care. That's the thing. My parents were busy with they had a busy household. They were struggling financially. They didn't care what I did. I got away with murder when I was a teenager because I got good grades in school too, so it didn't matter. They didn't care about any of that stuff. What's interesting though, this is what's really fascinating. When I started doing it for a living, my parents were horrified.
Oh, really?
It was so strange because they never cared. When I was a teenager, I could be doing all the witchy stuff in the world. They didn't care. But as soon as I started doing it for a living, they were like, well, what are we going to tell people? Isn't that funny? Yeah. You know, so they kind of choked up on that. But then later they got, when the career started really taking off and doing well, they were really proud. And unfortunately, they both passed away before my book started coming out. And I know that they would have been really delighted with the book. So, yeah.
So what, this is another question from our audience, Joey. What kind of cards should I purchase?
In my opinion, every tarot reader has a different opinion. I got two things to say about that. Number one, the Rider-Waite-Smith deck is the easiest deck to start with. And it's also, it's not just the easiest deck to start with. It's a classic. Many, many modern tarot decks are based on the imagery of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. So if you start with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, you know what? You're going to be able to read any deck. Also, the other thing I like to say is you should pick a deck, though, ultimately, that's appealing to you. It's very important that you look at that deck and you like the way the deck looks. Now, one thing that I really love is there's so many modern decks cover so many different interests. There are decks with cats in them. There's decks with unicorns. There's really inclusive decks now. There's decks, you know, for everybody. You can find, it doesn't matter what background you're from, you can find something you're interested in. I love my Baroque Bohemian Cats tarot, by the way. Or, you know, you can find a deck with people who look just like you. So there's something for everybody out there. Find a deck you really love. But when all else fails, start with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck and go from there.
Great advice. Now, the next question is, if I get a certain reading, if I get a reading for a certain question today, is it possible to get a different reading the next day for the same question?
It is. First of all, I'm not a fan of beating a dead tarot horse. I am somebody who thinks, get your reading and leave it alone for a while. Mm-hmm. If you're asking the same question again and again and again, you are bound to get mixed messages. My tarot cards get very grouchy when people try to do that. Mm-hmm. I found for myself, though, you know, back in the day when I used to play around and try doing experiments like that, oftentimes I'd get very similar readings. And then when I started really pushing the envelope, I started getting mixed messages and the cards became useless. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's possible you could get a different interpretation, but really get your reading and leave it alone. Leave it alone for a while. See what happens. Give it time.
And I do wonder if that question comes from a place of somebody who has had a reading and didn't like what they heard. So what would you say to that kind of person?
Well, you know, you're not always going to hear what you want to hear. And if you're coming to a reading and you're very emotionally invested in the outcome, you're not open to receiving the information. I think the most important mindset is one of openness. And if you don't like the outcome, you got a couple different things that you can do. Number one, you can sit with the information, really think about it. You know, when I get an outcome I don't like, I'm like, what do I need to know here? What do I need to change about my situation? Why am I getting this message? What's in it for me that I need to really start thinking about? So I look at it as a point of inquiry. But you know, if you don't like it, you can always ask cards for advice on how to change your outcome. You can get a second opinion. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big fan of just sitting with it and absorbing the information and really looking within and using it as a tool for introspection.
So then our next question from Words and Mist is, how authentic can a tarot card reading be for an individual?
Well, they mean how accurate is it?
I'm assuming that's what they mean, yeah.
Okay, well, this is my opinion. I think at the best, all tarot readers and astrologers are about 80% accurate, mm-hmm. at the best, because there's always a chance you're going to misinterpret things, which is really easy to do. You know, a lot of times what I'll do for myself is I keep a tarot journal, and I'll write down the readings I do for myself, and then I can revisit it later, because sometimes the original interpretation, it might be right, but not the way I thought it was. So I think it's really important to have like a proper perspective, that you're not coming into it assuming it's going to be 100% accurate. I mean, sometimes readings are, but 80% is a pretty good guesstimate. Mm-hmm. And also a couple different things. If you're coming into it with a closed mind, you're going to have a big problem getting the reading to work for you. Sometimes also, if you're not compatible with the reader, they're not going to be able to pull anything out that's going to be very helpful to you. So compatibility does matter. Mm-hmm. If the person coming to the reading is playing games, that's going to affect the reading too. You know, I think it all comes down to, for accuracy, a very experienced reader who you feel comfortable with, and you've got to be in it with a real open mind and no games. Then you're going to be more likely to get a pretty helpful reading.
I think that's it, isn't it? Having no games, having no sort of tricks up your sleeve. Because I suppose with a lot of, you know, spiritual practices, you know, a lot of people, I don't know how to word this, a lot of people sort of are skeptical even though they're coming to a reading. So that it's almost like that they want to test the limits almost. So I think that's a really nice piece of advice, to try and just let yourself in, open yourself up to receiving what you're getting.
Yeah. You know, ultimately when people come in with a closed mind, or they're coming to play games, it's really disrespectful. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of going into your doctor and saying, I'm not going to tell you what my symptoms are or what's wrong with me, because I want you to guess to prove how great you are.
Yeah.
It's really, in my opinion, and maybe this is because I'm old and I've been doing this so long, I just find it really disrespectful. It's like, you know what, if you don't believe, if you're going to come in here playing weird games, then why are you here? Mm-hmm. What is the point of that? That's so weird. You know, when I get a reading from somebody, because I get a reading once a year, mm-hmm. for my birthday, that's my favorite time to get a reading. I generally pick a different reader each time, just because I kind of like testing things out, and not testing it in a negative skeptical way, but just seeing what they're all about. I'm so curious. I'm nosy. I want to see how they read. Mm-hmm. And I always let them know immediately what I want to focus on. It's always the same thing. I'm like, look, when I get my reading, I want to focus on business. I want to focus on this book project. I want to know that my kids are okay. These are the areas that are important to me. I don't want to hear about health. I don't care about that. And I don't want to hear about my love life, because my love life's fine. This is where I want to focus. And you know what? The readers are always so relieved, because there's no messing around. We can get right down to business. We can focus on the topics that are important to me. And I always listen with an open mind. Mm-hmm. And I take a lot of notes. And then later on, I can go back and reflect and say, okay, got it. And I can use the reading then to help me. I come into it because I look for it for guidance, not entertainment. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes it can be entertaining too.
And I think that's a really interesting point that you just mentioned. You know, you don't go in there asking specific questions. You go in there with specific areas of your life that you, yes, want to focus on. And that's probably a key point of difference that a lot of people might need to hear. You know, don't ask those specific yes or no questions. Ask about an area of your life.
Yeah. And also the other thing you can ask is good questions. Like sometimes if I'm getting a reading from somebody else, you know, the questions I ask aren't just like, will I get a book deal? It's like, what is the best way for me to get this book deal? What do I need to know to make it happen? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I'm looking for a specific like business goal, I'm not going to ask, will I meet my goal? I'm going to ask, how can I make sure that I get that goal? So I'm always looking for the angle of how to make something happen. I never look at it like, will it happen? Because that feels so powerless. Like, yeah, oh my God, I'm sitting around waiting for life to happen. No. I want to make it happen. So I always approach my readings when I get a reading from someone else very much with the magician's mindset.
Absolutely. And it's sort of putting the onus on yourself, and again, taking the power back into your own hands, and you know, it goes back to that saying that's on your site again, the cards tell a story, but you write the ending.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I would believe everything that I was ever told in my entire life, and I'm not talking tarot readings, I'm just talking about life, you know, the bad astrology chart, or I grew up poor, or, you know, had a very funky upbringing, and, you know, I've been told plenty of negative things over my lifetime. If I would have believed them and just said, well, I guess that's what it is, my life would look very different. But I have always, at some part inside, there's a little bit of a witchy magician inside of me, and I always knew that I'm like, nope, it's going to be different. It's not going to go like that. Yeah. And it really is about paying attention to energy, being conscious, making good decisions. And I made plenty of bad decisions, don't get me wrong. But even those, I got to walk away and learn something from it. Mm-hmm.
Now, our last question, we've already heard about how you got into your business, and obviously, you know, your path is going to be individual to unique to anybody else's path. So this question is about how to get established in the profession. So I suppose really, what kind of tips would you give somebody who's looking to go down this path?
The first thing, give yourself time to make sure that you are really comfortable reading those cards. Because I've seen a lot of people go into it as a business before they're ready. And that can often lead to a lot of trouble. It could lead to people getting mad at you because you don't deliver a good reading. Or if you have a couple bad experiences, it could also scare you off of doing it for a profession. And we need more good tarot readers. Believe me, we really do. But give yourself some time. Read for as many people as you can from different backgrounds and situations so you're comfortable with that. Get some basic counseling skills. Because a lot of times when you're doing readings, you are listening to people's problems and they need to feel really safe coming to you for that. So those are things you want to think about. You want to give yourself plenty of time before you start going pro. And you can also take lots of classes. There's so many classes you can take. There's so many good books out there. And when you start thinking about doing this for a business, you've got to be very clear on how you're going to serve people, on what kind of a reader you are. And you've got to make sure that you set yourself up so the right people can find you. And that means you've got to really market yourself as honestly and earnestly as possible. And by the way, everybody in this day and age, please, please, please have a website. Make it easy for people to find you. Don't be afraid to do a little marketing. Don't rely, and by the way, with this pandemic going on, you really need to make sure you can work virtually. So I'm kind of going all over the place, but give yourself time, take lots of classes, read for as many people as you can, set up a website, and do some marketing. And I think that you, if you market right, and if you have a place where people can work with you easily, you can make it work.
And I suppose I've got a bit of an addition to that question. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of spiritual professions, they require, some kind of clairvoyant ability or psychic ability and things like that. But tarot, do you think that somebody needs that innate ability? Obviously, and you can do things to bring it out, but is it purely about learning the cards and learning how to interpret them and having that counseling mindset? Or do you need some kind of innate sort of psychic ability too?
Well, I think first of all, everybody has intuition. I really do. We all exercise that muscle very differently. And some people are more intuitive because they pay attention to it on a regular basis. So when you start playing around with tarot, oftentimes it'll make you more intuitive. But you don't need to be like some great psychic. You can learn the cards. And if you are sensitive to the people you're working with, you'll be able to pick up on things and see how the stories go together. So a little bit of sensitivity, lots of practice will help you with that. I always say it, I'm not really psychic, but I guess I am. My husband thinks I am. I'm very intuitive. I read energy. I feel energy. It's different for everybody, but you don't need to be like some big psychic to be a reader. Just know the cards and care about people. If you've got a lot of empathy and care about people, that's going to be more important than some impressive ability to pull names out of thin air.
And I think that's a really good point as well. Getting into a profession like this, you've got to want the end goal to be helping people and, empowering them to take what you've given them and improve their life in some way.
My goal always is to help people. Mm-hmm. If somebody's like, oh my God, everything you said came true, that is not as rewarding as someone coming and saying, that reading really helped me. That really helped me to get through a dark time. That is when the reading feels good. That's when it feels magical.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Teresa, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a really enlightening talk today. So thank you once again.
Thank you so much for having me today, Rose. It has been my pleasure.
Absolutely. And for anybody listening, all the links to Teresa's website and socials will be in the show notes for this podcast episode. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist Podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.